Welcome, listeners, to another episode of the Ripple Intent Podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, John Grant, and with me, as always, is Kyle Mishkrowski. Kyle, say hello.
Hey, how you doing, everybody? Welcome.
So as all of you know that you've listened before, for any of you new listeners, we are excited to have you here. Ripple Intent is a nonprofit organization which is focused on improving how we work together. We try to bring a more humanistic focus to how we show up in the workplace every day and gain greater awareness as to our strengths and how we impact the people around us. And today, we have one of our longtime volunteers. She has been intrinsic in helping us navigate the social media landscape. She's a facilitator at a lot of our events and a good friend of Kyle and myself and Ripple Intent, Christine Schneider. So, Christine, introduce yourself for the group.
Thanks, John. Hi, everybody. Christine Schneider, super excited and honored to be on the podcast this morning. Like John has said, I've been involved with Ripple Intent for, gosh, probably 6 or 7 years, and just absolutely enjoy being involved in this wonderful organization. So thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, so excited to have you here.
Same here.
Yeah, so for listeners today, we're actually going to do a deep dive into Clifton Strengths. And we at Ripple Intent, we use Clifton Strengths on a regular basis because it's a wonderful, positively focused tool that helps us gain greater awareness of ourselves and how we're showing up. So for those of you who aren't aware of it, Gallup and Don Clifton was a psychologist who back in the 1950s identified that there are 34 common strengths that show up in everyone in different orders. And what we really do is we focus primarily on your top five. Right. There's a lot where you can look at maybe your top 10 strengths, but your top five are the most important ones. These are, again, it's a positive focus. This is part of what I love about it. It's about your strengths, right? What are you intrinsically good at? And, you know, so it's not things like woodworking or I'm an amazing driver, but it gets more to the intangibles. And so we're going to talk through today with Christine about how her journey, talk about her journey and understanding her strengths and how they apply. And we also take a close look at the balconies and the basements, right? So balconies are really when you're operating at the best in your strengths, you're being your best self. And the basements end up being where your strengths, they actually have this natural thing where you aren't operating at your best, right? Your strengths are actually creating conflict or frustration for you when you interact with other people. So it's great to have an understanding of both aspects with each of your strengths and how that shows up. So with that intro, Christine, why don't you share with us, what are your, maybe tell just a little bit about, tell us what your top five strengths are, and then we'll start digging into those and how they work for you.
Yeah. Okay. So top five in order are strategic, communication, futuristic, achiever, and woo. So yeah, those are my top five. It's been really interesting to be able to dive into those with Ripple Intent and the Strengths Finders. It's really provided me with a heightened sense of self-awareness of my own strengths and how really provided me with a new perspective on how I operate day in and day out, both personally and professionally.
That's awesome. I know when did you first stumble across Strength Finders? Was it through Ripple Intent or was it through some other medium?
No, it was through Ripple Intent. So John actually introduced it to me a number of years ago, and it really like I said, it was pretty eye-opening to understand why I operate the way that I do, and honestly alleviated some frustrations. I think not really truly understanding why I approach certain situations in certain ways. StrengthsFinder gave me that self-awareness and that look at myself to really understand why I was approaching situations the way that I do.
That's a really nice way of putting it. I like saying that StrengthsFinder helped me understand how I'm wired and how I can often be a jerk, where that comes from. So it's I remember one of my team members introduced me to the thing many years ago and gave me the book and said, here, you should check this out. This is pretty cool. And it was pretty cool. And we brought in a facilitator for our staff retreat. And we spent a couple hours with it, just getting our heads around what is this thing. And there's a ton of personality tests out there for sure. And what I always have echoed and really appreciate about StrengthsFinders is that, like John said, it does focus on your strengths. It basically says everyone has the same 34 pieces in them. It's just a matter of in what order and in what magnitude do they all show up. Mm-hmm. Too many of the other ones seem to be focused on here's how you understand and manipulate other people. And this one truly is about your own self-awareness, focusing on you and not so much on other people. Because like you said, Christine, and we'll talk a little bit about this, and we should start with the strategic one. So for those of you who don't know what these strengths are, you can go and check it out. It's $20, I think, still to take the assessment on Gallup's website. Millions of people have taken it. They got all kinds of data, all kinds of reports, PDFs, great stuff. But for our conversation today, we're just going to use the short form and talk about what it looks like actually in practice. So the strategic strength, that I'm going to read it straight from Gallup. People exceptionally talented in the strategic theme create alternative ways to proceed. Faced with any given scenario, they can quickly spot the relevant patterns and issues. So on the surface, that actually sounds pretty good. Where have you seen that, or how has that played out, Christine, in your own life?
So I work for a national engineering firm, Kimley Horn, and I've been in the AEC industry for about 15 years now. The strategy piece has made me really successful in my career and opened up a lot of opportunities for me. And the fact that I can come in, I'm not an engineer, I don't have a technical background, but can sometimes see different paths of how we should approach a project or work with a client. So that's been one way that it's been really positive. A basement of that, I don't know if you want me to dive into that right now, but sometimes it's hard for folks to understand my approach or the thought process behind why I want to go down a certain path. So that's where strategies really come into play for me.
Yeah, there's a lot about that. You just see or you just feel that path, right? It just kind of shows up. And, you know, so when other people don't see it, how does that make you feel?
Yeah, it gets really frustrating, right? It's so clear in my mind that before StrengthsFinders and before really understanding this, I would just get frustrated with people because to me it made so much sense and I could not understand why they couldn't see it or they were doubting the path that I was suggesting. So it caused a lot of frustration pre-Ripple Intent, pre-StrengthsFinders.
Yeah, so do you find yourself explaining more, right? Like, no, guys, look, you can do, this is the way we should go.
Yeah, I think now on having the understanding and the self-awareness that come along with knowing my strengths and how I operate in both the balcony when I'm in a, like I like to call it a high vibration or a low vibration for the basement, I can take a step back now and explain it a little bit better and understand that not everybody is going to understand my way of thinking or how I'm approaching a situation.
So what I just heard you describe is, I recognize other people are slow and I'll help them catch up to where I am.
Yeah, I mean, that's honestly, well, I don't want to put it like that. I'm going to sound like a jerk. But yeah, I think that was sometimes how I would think of like, well, I know that I'm right. Like this is the path that we should take. you know, I don't know if I would say that other people are slow, but maybe slow to understand that my path is the right path oftentimes. So, it caused a lot of frustration. And I think understanding that I approach situations differently with a strategic mindset as opposed to, you know, discipline or futuristic as your number one, understanding that has helped me to take a step back, explain to people, really make sure that we're on the same page instead of just saying like, all right, I'm going to go full steam ahead, because in my mind, it makes sense. And I, you know, if it doesn't make sense to you, too bad.
Well, so given that communication is your number two strength, it hopefully it seems like, you know, being able to communicate these things and your perspective is a little bit easier for you.
You'd think. Yes.
Kyle, do you want to share that definition of communication?
So yeah, communication is fascinating to me. The official definition: people strong in the communication theme generally find it easy to put their thoughts into words. They are good conversationalists and presenters. I work with people who have communication. I don't have it personally in my top five. And so, oh, that's one context too. We often do the top five analysis. You can get all 34 of your strengths if you take the assessment. It costs a little more, but the $20 top five, it really does give you quite a bit of information. And if you like it, down the road, you can get the rest of the 34. So I know where it falls on mine, but people who have it in their top five, it generally comes out quite often. We talk about this too. One other piece of context is, people ask, so if I get my top five strengths, do all five of my strengths come out every single day? And the answer is, it depends. For some people, you'll see all five strengths come out in your top five every day. For other people like me, I'll see my top three come out pretty regularly all day long. Four and five will come out in circumstances, often when I'm tired and stressed. That's when four and five come out. So different people, different things. Some, like I said, all five come out all day long. Others, top two, three come out quite often all day long. But back to the communication piece. Communication piece, just like it sounds, these people are really strong at talking and they talk a lot. And I emphasize that because I don't have it. I think a lot. And so the people who talk a lot often bother me. And for a long time, I was really judgmental about that. It was like, do we have to talk about your kids and the weather and your drive-in and what happened last night? I don't have time for that. I don't really care. Or where I also would be super judgmental is the people who would just start talking. We'd say, hey, let's talk about, you know, the next item on our agenda. This meeting is X. And they would immediately start talking all out loud. And we're like, would you just shut up and think before you talk? This is really obnoxious. And then I would just sit back and let them ramble on and just kind of be irritated. And I never really understood. I just thought these people were bad. So communication is fascinating as a strength.
So I don't have communication in my top 10 either, which now I'm finding curious that we're talking about it, that Kyle, you and I are hosting this podcast where we're dealing with some communication. Maybe we should have a little rethink. But Christine, how do you feel about Kyle's assessment of people with communication as one of their top five, since it's your number two?
Kyle, I'm surprised you and I have become friends and have been on this ripple intent journey a little bit together, knowing I can be a bit of a blabbermouth sometimes. I think communication is definitely, it's my top two. I find that when I'm on, I can be really strong in the communication aspect, easy to talk to, can be charismatic at times. But then when I do have a level of frustration or stress that's creeping into my day, I can find that I lose that focus and I tend to be long-winded and go off track. And that's where I'm starting to go into that basement of the communication. But if anybody knows me, I talk a lot. So I think it should be no surprise that communication is my number two.
I'm surprised it's not your number one.
Well, it's funny that you say you're surprised to become friends. I echo what you said earlier about how my life has changed with this understanding. And it wasn't because I became more tolerant. That's the wrong word. What I understood was now, because of the way I'm wired, I'm able to recognize that when other people aren't wired the same way as me, they're probably going to trigger me. And they're going to trigger me in ways that are mostly negative. I get irritated. My level of distrust increases. My internal bias and judge comes out real harshly. So that was prevalent. And I told myself for a long, long time that, oh, it's just me. And it's just me being me. And these people obviously aren't like me. And so since I'm so good, then you're not. And When I got this understanding, it was now I understand why what really turns me on from my strengths and fires me up and engages me. And now I also understand what puts me in tension with other people. And so now when these things happen, I'm able to, it doesn't mean that the internal judgment and all that stuff doesn't happen. It all still happens, but I'm able to recognize that that's how I'm reacting and go, is that fair and is that appropriate? So it's given me a much, much bigger wake of pace and Grayson's curiosity and interest in other people who are not the same. Because I can recognize right away, hey, this person's way different than me. That doesn't mean that they're bad. And it was a progression. It took many years to get to where that's much more natural now. Mm-hmm. But I had to train myself to not react that way. I'm telling you, it was a rough high school, man. It was, those years were tough.
I love that, Kyle. The that's right. The listeners, this is the awareness component. The more time you spend sitting and understanding both your strengths and other people's strengths, that you gain this appreciation for the differences between us. So, right, Christine, you and I have worked together, right, professionally, and I am much more inclined to be quiet. And I have to be careful because I get on this, I like to be quiet, but I get on the soapbox. And so I'm learning actually to get comfortable with silence and not fill in those spaces. So with you, it is kind of one of my favorites. I love this part about you, that your communication does just like pop in there. And if there's quiet, you're going to fill it, but you're going to do it not in it's not in a negative way. It's actually, I almost said it's not always like super deep or anything, right? But like you're the I hear the strategic coming out with you, right? I hear some of your other strengths that pop, right? And you're able to kind of like wade in. So we can actually play off each other really well, right? So if I want to process and think, then, you know, you can certainly be out there communicating, right? And sort of leading conversation, leading discussion and thought. So yeah. I love that part.
I love that too. And I love what both you and Kyle just said. One of the notes that I wrote down before we hopped on today was, you know, being conscious of my strengths allows me to be flexible and bring a higher perspective. So Kyle, it goes back to that self-awareness piece, right? Like me truly understanding my strengths and where I fall on the spectrum, whether the balcony or the basement, allows me to understand, you know, when I'm on point, and then also when I need to reel it in a little bit. And it also allows me to be flexible with others and know that, you know, we're not going to have the same top five strengths, or maybe not even the same top 10. But it doesn't mean that their approach is wrong, right? I don't have to butt heads with those people. I don't necessarily need to feel that internal frustration. It has really allowed me to take that step back and reassess the situation and myself.
Yeah. I love that. Let's talk about your third strength, futuristic, because I have this one as well. This is one of my favorites.
Let's go to the one that is all about you.
Well, of course. Why shouldn't we, right?
Well, this will give you a chance to get on your soapbox that you were just sharing about. Futuristic, according to Gallup, the definition, people exceptionally talented in the futuristic theme are inspired by the future and what could be. They energize others with their visions of the future.
John, you want to go? You want me to jump into mine?
No, you first, because this isn't about me. This is all about you.
Not yet.
I was leaving that pregnant pause in there to wait for you to fill the space. I'm practicing.
Well, so this is an interesting one. My futuristic strength, it's really interesting because my balcony is often how I operate with futuristic in my professional life. And futuristic, I often show in my personal life, shows up in my basement. And I'll give a little bit more context around that. So again, working with engineers, architects, you know, my balcony, having that creative, imaginative approach allows me to be really successful and sometimes bring those out of the box ideas that have worked well. Where my basement comes into play, and this is a perfect example, and I was just telling you both before we hopped on, is my husband and I just bought a house, and in fact, we're moving in today. But we'll get into that later with Achiever. And for me, it was, we moved in, the home's beautiful. And the second we moved in, I was creating a list of 20 projects that I want to do within the next year or two and listing them off to my husband. And he actually said, like, can we just take a pause? We just bought a beautiful home and you're talking about all the things you want to fix and all these things you want to go, you know, do down the line. Can we just be in the present? So in my personal life, futuristic really shows up where I'm often not in the present and I'm thinking, you know, a few steps ahead. So that's how I see it show up for me.
No, that's really interesting. Well, and do you feel like it combines in there? So you have your 20 projects. Did you lay out, you know, what gets done when already?
Yes. And I know Kyle said it before that your top five don't always show up. I feel like mine are so intermingled that they're like almost all fighting with each other all the time. So yes, I have a list. I know how much it's going to cost, when we're going to do each one, right? That's the strategy part of it.
Right. No, I totally feel that because I have them both, right? Futuristic and strategic, right? So now it's back to me again, Kyle. But it shows up in a similar way that, right, like you can kind of, you see these different future states and there's a path that leads to each one. And, right, just not everyone sees that. So like, how do you then go back to communicate? Or it's like, yeah, come on guys, come back to reality, come back to the present. And I love that you are looking at this both from a professional and a personal standpoint. Because right, our strengths are just us as people. It's not us at work. It's
right.
It's you wherever you are. Mm-hmm. And right, learning then how to activate or to tamp some of them down once in a while, right? If they start going haywire. So that's really interesting. Mine works kind of similarly at home, except I don't like to make the lists quite so much. I don't go quite that detailed. It just lives in the back of my head. So yeah, no, that's really interesting. So let's, I'm watching our time and I kind of want to get through some of these others because your last one is less common and want to make sure we have time to talk about it. But so let's talk about Achiever, because lots of people have this, whether they understand it, realize it or not.
That is true. It is, statistically, it is the number one most popular in America strength, with like somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 some odd percent. I would say 34%. Of the people who've taken the assessment have Achiever somewhere in their top five. So it is by far the most popular in our country. The official definition, people strong in the Achiever theme have a great deal of stamina and work hard. They take great satisfaction from being busy and productive. The way I always explain it is every day starts with a brand new list of to-dos. I get out my Post-it, I get out my calendar, I get out my list, and I make a list of all the things to do. And you go do them. And then when it's over, you go to bed, and the next morning you get up and you do it again and again and again and again. And it never stops. There's never a day of, oh, I'm just going to take it easy today and not do a whole lot. That doesn't happen, because after a little bit, you start getting antsy. I need to go make a list. You need to do stuff. Sometimes you write stuff down and cross it off just because you can show that you did something. It's not even a write it down and go do it. It's do it and then write it down and cross it off, because I achieved some things. So the one of the other ways that this totally plays out for me for a long, long time, it was, if we're going on vacation, we are going to jam everything possible into our vacation, because if we're going to go somewhere, why would we not maximize our time and take advantage of this new place, location, wherever it is, with as many planned activities to maximize our experience? And I have since learned that when my wife says, can we not do something every day? Can we have some down days? That's my clue to back off. Okay, we can balance. I'll have some days where we plan some stuff and some days where we'll just see where it takes us. And those days are hard. They're actually really hard for me. But it was, again, back to that judgmental piece of, how could you all not do stuff? When people would say, hey, what'd you do this weekend? I didn't do anything. And I'm like, what a waste of time. You're wasting your life. You're not taking advantage of all this time that you have to do all these great things. And what I learned is, well, as we'll talk about here for a second, there's some pretty tough characteristics there in the basement of this one. And I'm sure, Christine, you were saying some of those, especially the fact that you're here joining us on this podcast on the day of your move.
Yeah, my husband was super pleased with me. Yeah, I think Achiever is one that definitely, it's my number four, but it is one that I see consistently every day. And it's probably the one strength that I really need to keep an eye on. You know, I pride myself on being that person that if somebody comes to them and, you know, need something for me, I'm going to get it done. You know, that doesn't matter how late I have to stay up, how much I have to work to get that project done. I am reliable. I am tireless. I have the strong work ethic. Where I've found in my basement is, right, I have a hard time saying no. I have a hard time setting healthy boundaries. And I burn myself out to, you know, nobody's fault but my own. But I think the one thing that really hit me with the Achiever, when we talked through this, I think it was at one of the symposiums, was I really realized when I go into full Achiever mode and I'm like, I can do it, I can take that on, I'm actually, it's not just a detriment to my own self, it's a detriment to my teammates and my colleagues. Oftentimes when I'm overloading my plate, I'm not helping to fill up their plates and giving them opportunities to learn and grow. So that's something that I really need to keep in check. And yes, on the personal side, I'm supposed to be off this week. We're moving today. We have movers coming to move into our own house. And I was like, sorry, babe, I've got to go record a podcast. So I'll be MIA for the next hour or two. And he was so thrilled when he found out the topic, because he was like, oh, this is great. So you could talk about how you overcommit and you burn yourself out.
And not just you, but other people too, right? You do the same thing to other people.
Yep.
You commit them, you overcommit them, you bring them through your, you know, along with you for the ride. And yeah, Eventually they kind of fall off the boat. Now they're in your wake and you're dragging them along and they burn out as well.
Yeah. And I think also too, you know, one thing I have to keep in mind is empathy is not in my top five. Quite honestly, I'm not even sure if it's in my top 10. I'd have to go back and look. But I can get really frustrated when I see folks that don't want to put in the 50 or 60 hours a week. It's like, well, I'd do it. Why wouldn't you too? And I have to constantly also remind myself, just because that's how I approach work and I have that Achiever, that doesn't mean that they're doing something wrong by not doing what I'm doing.
Very true. It's, you know, there's a mix in there where you actually do find the other people who have Achiever. Like we said, it's super common, right? And so as you kind of start to understand your colleagues, your spouse, right, your partner, however, about how, you know, do they have it and how does it show up for them, right? Does it show up the same as it does for you? And can you get the Achievers aligned?
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, everybody pull out your lists. Let's compare notes and make sure we have the same things on there. so we can cross them off together.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think there's plenty of information out there. We just scratched the surface with three of these top five strengths for Christine, and obviously John and I have our own top five, and we could spend a lot more time talking about all of these things and how they impact our lives. But I think one of the as we go around here, the takeaway before we close out, John, for me, I would say the one big takeaway is if you haven't taken the assessment, I would encourage you to do it. It's really insightful. It's brief. It takes you maybe 15, 20 minutes, 25 minutes at the most. Not super expensive, and it can give you a lot of insight as to how you're wired and where you excel and then where you struggle. The balcony and basements piece is pretty insightful. If you have taken it and you haven't looked at it in a while, revisit it. If you have taken it and you look at it a lot, keep looking at it and keep sharing what you know. We just had one brief example. We had a meeting at work the other day, and there was a question that was asked, and of the, I don't know, 14 people in the meeting, everybody was quiet. And we were lucky to have some insight in that group. And we saw that this group overall has a ton of thinking strengths, and one person has communication. And so it was silent when we asked a question. And you mentioned that earlier, John, the uncomfortable silence. Well, I recognized, and so did she, that, well, guess what's happening? It's not that we're all disengaged and not participating and trying to answer this question. Everybody in this room, for the most part, is processing the question and thinking it through. And we're all doing it in silence, and most of us are comfortable in it. And some of us are getting really antsy because we have communication and we want to talk. And it was, everyone just kind of smiled and sat back and nodded and like, yeah, that's what's happening. Huh, okay. And we were able to move on. But without that recognition, you can imagine all kinds of judgments that would be going on. Well, you know, so-and-so doesn't look interested and they're not engaged. No one's speaking up. And maybe this topic is stupid and we shouldn't be talking about it. We're wasting time. But instead it was, no, the awareness of this group is, this is the dynamic that's happening. And that's super healthy because all that other stuff is just noise and drama. So how about you, Christine, if you were to leave one thought before we wrap it up, what would that be?
Yeah, I think it would be very similar, Kyle. You know, if you have not taken a chance to look at your strengths, I would say please take the assessment. It has been so eye-opening for me and really has provided a heightened sense of self-awareness. And then from there, you know, I would just encourage folks to create an environment where all strengths are present when possible, so you do have a good mix of folks in the room. But yeah, take the assessment. It's so worth it.
I'm going to third that. I've been living with my strengths and studying them, understanding them for, gosh, nearly 10 years now. And I'm still learning. But one of the things that, you know, you could take the assessment and go, oh, that's cute, right, and move on. But the more you sit and study, the more aware you become of how you show up in the world. It starts to change your outlook. And I would say if you do this, share it with at least one other person, right? Pick someone who you trust, who you feel safe with, and share it with them. And, you know, have them do the same. And so that you can get a better handle on just A, understanding the strengths as a whole, but getting feedback in terms of how does the other person perceive you? Or how do you perceive them? Is that aligned with their strengths, right? Can you start to recognize when they are showing up as their balcony or as their basement? We do this as group exercises, like Kyle said. I've done the same. doing it with a bunch of engineers who are internal processors, you get a lot of those quiet moments. So, you know, wading through that, getting comfortable, and, you know, figuring it out, it brings you all together. It creates a bond and a sense of group belonging. So highly recommend exploring that and learning more about yourself. And with that, you know, once again, we could have this conversation all day. Christine, thank you so much for joining us, for being a little vulnerable and sharing this part of your journey with us. We're super excited that you've been here, and, you know, look forward to our continued conversations.
Thank you both so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks for being here.
And with that, we're going to call it a wrap. Listeners, thank you for being here with us, and stay tuned. Come find us online, on LinkedIn, participate in one of our events. We're in a number of locations around the country, which you'll find at our website, rippleintent.org. And we will see you on the next episode.